Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking pretzels, and one of our favorite segments on Hot Grease, Type and Tell. But first up, food headlines with my new temporary sidekick, Jack Inslee, President and Executive Director of Heritage Radio Network. Producer. So, Jack, what do we have for food headlines this week?
So,
check. Yeah. Good one, Joe. So today, you know, long overdue, the Chick-fil-A saga.
Oh, my God.
Which is very deep on many different levels. But there's a really interesting article that you sent over from Clutch Magazine, kind of from the black perspective. And I found this quote really interesting. So there was a press conference in D.C., and Reverend William Owens from the Coalition of African American Pastors said, some people are saying that because of the position Chick-fil-A is taking, they don't want them in their cities. It's a disgrace. It's the same thing that happened when I was marching for civil rights, when they didn't want a black to come into their restaurant. So that's kind of flipping it on its head a little bit, no?
Totally. That is why, I mean, well, two things. I'm going to say this before we start off. I haven't reposted or said anything about the Chick-fil-A thing until today.
Really?
Yes. The second thing is I am a staunch supporter of equality, marriage rights. I'm all for folks getting married, no matter who you are and who you love. I find it absolutely crazy, this whole Chick-fil-A thing. And I'll tell you why. I grew up in the South. Chick-fil-A is actually based and started in Hapeville, Georgia. I grew up going to Chick-fil-A, and I'm just shocked that people are, like, surprised that Chick-fil-A doesn't support gay marriage.
Really?
I mean, everyone knows that they are, like, Christian this and Christian that, and they give money to a ton of organizations that if you probably look deeper, you'd be like, what the hell?
$2 million in 2009 to conservative groups that have anti-gay agendas.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I mean, that's not, you know, a small donation.
At all.
It's really part of the fabric
of
the company.
So, and in terms of black people, like, I've seen a few pictures and I've seen a few folks, friends and stuff, particularly from down south, posting pictures of congregations holding up Chick-fil-A sandwiches and stuff like that. I'm like, really, though, y'all?
Yeah.
I mean, he flipped it. The Reverend Owens that you quoted is true. I mean, how can you... and basically, he's in support of gay marriage. Is that what I'm...
No. See, he's saying...
What is he saying?
He's saying that Chick-fil-A is being persecuted the way that people were...
Oh, shit,
right,
please.
Exactly.
Oh, get out
exactly.
of here.
Right. So that's why I said it. He's really flipping that on its head.
I mean, here's the thing about Chick-fil-A. My thing is with pastors and all these other people, if we want to look the whole Chick-fil-A thing, let's look at where their suppliers and what kind of food and chicken that they're supplying.
Right.
I think people just using this as a hot button issue. And for black churches to all of a sudden be like, yeah, we support Chick-fil-A. I don't see. Have they given any money to the NAACP or any national black causes?
Not that I've seen.
I think if we want to get behind anything, let's talk about some of this GMO chicken that they're selling.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's the kind of thing where you have to think about what you'll look like generations from now, having your photo taken in front of the Chick-fil-A holding up the sandwich. It's, you know.
The bigger
you don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
And I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't had Chick-fil-A. The last time I had Chick-fil-A in Georgia was probably about 3 years ago doing one of my trips and I got sick. And I'm serious. And I think it's because I don't eat a lot of, I mean, if you really research where they're getting their food from, you'd be shocked for people who are really into eating sustainable
for sure.
food.
NYU had Chick-fil-A in there when I went to school.
Oh, yeah. They're getting rid of it.
Good. Well,
yeah. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Yep, NYU is supposed to be getting rid. I haven't read it, and I've seen a few headlines that NYU is going to sever ties.
I wouldn't be surprised. So this is the really funny. This is the thing I found really funny because I looked up some more articles. Everyone's got something to say about Chick-fil-A. What does Fox News have on their website?
Oh, God.
How does the Chick-fil-A sandwich stack up? What is it about the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich that made anxious customers willing to wait in record lines on Wednesday? And this whole article is about the chicken sandwiches. It says nothing about anything else. Is that crazy?
Yeah. I really think, honestly, that all people, I mean, you have a right to your opinion. I mean, if you look at Chick-fil-A, they've been around, what, 30, 40, 50 something years. Yeah. I mean, look at the history of them. And I just think this is being blown way out of proportion. Chick-fil-A, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to say good about Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Well, in lighter news, Rick Ross's new record came out.
Rick Rossi?
Yes. God forgives. I don't. And there's this awesome article that basically chronicles all the food mentions. He's apparently mentioned every single food if you go back in all his lyrics. This is a really funny article by Sarah Lawson and Amanda Dobbins. I can't really read too many of these on the air.
Yeah, I saw that. All I have to say is, if you're listening to the show and you're like, Rick Ross, oh my gosh, who's Rick Ross? Google Rick Ross. Yeah. I mean, he's a rapper.
Did you listen to the album?
I have not listened to the album. Good. I haven't listened to it. I need to listen to it, but he's hilarious.
Here's one. Here's an example. I'm a boss, champagne with the steak, pink rosé Jason, ace by the cake.
Rick Ross. Yeah. So yeah, guys, check out Rick Ross's check out the article. It's absolutely hilarious.
It's really funny.
Google Rick Ross. You'll get a kick out of it. Jack, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
Food headlines for Monday, the first Monday in August, right here on Hot Grease.
That's right.
We'll be back next week, and we're gonna take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to I'm Not Gonna Cry by Sharon Jones and the Daptones.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We love this segment on Hot Grease. It's the grown-up version of Show and Tell. It is called Type and Tell. It is where we share something new and you spread the word of all things food-centric. On the phone today is Dania Davey, attorney and director producer of a film titled Our Land, Our Loss. It documents the North Carolina farmer experience. Dania, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, the organization that you partner with or you work for is Land Loss Prevention, that's based in North Carolina. Can you tell me a little bit about the founding and the mission of Land Loss Prevention?
Sure, yeah. Well, Land Loss was founded about 30 years ago. Actually, next year we'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary. And the organization was started by the North Carolina Association of Black Lawyers, who were trying to address the epic levels of African-American land loss throughout the state. And so our mission was really out of this kind of history of addressing these losses through various advocacy and legal interventions, and since then it's evolved into a law firm that addresses a broader range of issues, but our mission and our scope is really focused on the underserved rural communities.
So how did you get involved with Land Loss Prevention and how did you birth the film project?
Well, I got involved with the Land Loss Prevention Project through a public interest legal fellowship in 2008 that I designed to address some of those same issues, African-American land loss through estate planning, so trying to prevent the loss of land through encouraging landowners to have wills and estate plans. And so that's how I came to the organization, through my efforts to try to convince our folks to plan their estates, which was quite challenging at times. I realized that there was a need to try to identify what some of the larger priorities and issues were for the farmers that were preventing them from taking that step of formalizing their estate plan. And so I partnered with a professor at the UNC Chapel Hill's Public Health School to do a statewide needs assessment. And through that assessment, the part that I was working on was the documentary. And so kind of why it came into existence.
So you've told us, you know, what you do and the mission of the organization. For folks who are listening who are in New York City or down south or out west, what are some of the things that folks should know and do if their family owns property, particularly in North Carolina? And I'm saying North Carolina because your organization focuses on North Carolina only, correct?
Correct.
What things can folks do if they own or their family owns property to prevent land being lost? No puns intended.
Well, if they visit our website, landloss.org, there's a really great resource that I've helped edit during my time here called 10 Ways to Save the Land. And it's a really good starting point. It's kind of long, but I think it's a really good tool for families to get that conversation started. I think one of the issues, because we have clients that are situated across the country, some of which might even be in New York or California, as long as the land is located in land loss, we can provide legal services. And so it's really important to kind of find what those resources are to start that conversation, because without the communication about, you know, how much land there is, who's been paying the taxes, all of those matters, it's really hard to kind of formulate a plan to get you to the next step of preserving the family's land. And so I definitely think, you know, contacting us for references, depending on what state you're located in, using our website as a resource, can really just, you know, watching the film, it can really just get that conversation started, which I think is the most important part, because at the end, we as lawyers can only do so much if the family is not in some level of agreement about what they would like to do with the land.
And I just want to say again with the film, I was totally inspired and moved by the film. I think one of the most interesting stories in the whole film is there's only one black dairy farmer that's left in North Carolina, and you actually featured him in the film. And just seeing his story, which he was second or third generation dairy farmer, yes, moved me. If folks wanted to see, you know, the film titled Our Land, Our Loss, what is the best way to do that?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, my contact information is probably the fastest way to get it. You could try to interface with us through our website. But, you know, I can share that with you. And you can put it up maybe on your website as a link for folks to be able to get access to the film. It's not yet online. We're hoping to get it online at some point. But for now, we're just kind of reproducing copies of it and sharing it that way.
Thank you, Dania. Thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. We'll have to have you back, and we have to talk in depth about farming and land loss. But I definitely wanted to have you on for Type and Tell. So, folks, type and tell everyone about landloss.org. You can Google Our Land, Our Loss, and you'll see a few things that folks have been saying about it. But there you have it. Type and Tell for the first Monday in August. Dania, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. And just quickly, it's Our Land, Our Lives, the North Carolina Black Farmers Experience.
I'm sorry. Did I screw that up?
No, it's fine. I just didn't want them to Google the wrong thing.
There you have it. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thanks a lot. You too. Bye-bye.
Listeners, we'll be back with more Hot Grease in a sec.
You're listening to Got a Thing on My Mind by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. My thing, it won't come true.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. You can check out our show schedule and show archives at heritageradionetwork.com. We're also on iTunes if you want to check out one of Hot Grease's over 100 episodes. Go to iTunes and put in Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, in the studio to talk pretzels is Barella Kirkland, one half of Pilsner's Pretzels. Barella, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show to talk the anatomy of a pretzel and all things pretzel. So let's break this pretzel thing down right now. I see pretzels. Some are like hard, some are soft. What is all in a pretzel? What makes a pretzel?
A pretzel is a simple baked good that's made primarily with wheat flour, yeast, salt, and water. Of course, you know, the recipes vary by brand, but those are the basic ingredients. A hard pretzel is obviously a soft pretzel that's been, baked longer. And the difference primarily, I would say, is how they're used. A hard pretzel obviously has a longer shelf life. They're packaged. You can carry them with you for a snack. People can crumble them up and use them as a dessert topping. So it's a lot more versatile, more of a to-go snack than a soft pretzel, which is has a much shorter shelf life. A soft pretzel will last you about 3 days.
Yeah, it's funny because in the last month or last few weeks, I've seen a ton about pretzels. I went to the Lunch Hour NYC exhibit and they had a whole little section on pretzels. And then I'm on Pinterest and I see people on Pinterest posting these pretzel cones, like ice cream cones. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this: are pretzels an American thing? Did they originate in Philly and America? Where exactly?
Well, we do know that in Pennsylvania, in particular, the pretzels were brought over in the 19th century by German immigrants. And bakeries started popping up in rural Pennsylvania and the countryside. Later on, in Philadelphia in particular, the Italians started to bake pretzels as well. And pretzels are, I would say, as American as just about anything. I mean, we're all immigrants. So all of our treats have origins in the places that we all come from. And of course, the Pennsylvania Dutch in Pennsylvania are Germans. They were Germans. They were later known as the Pennsylvania Dutch.
So you keep saying Philly, Philly.
Philly.
Yeah. So is it Philly or New York City that takes the crown for being the pretzel capital?
Oh, Philadelphia, no doubt.
Oh, without a doubt?
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, this is how our company got started, right? My husband is from Philadelphia, and he's lived in New York for a long time, and ever since I've known him, I've had to listen to him complain about how you can't get a decent pretzel in New York. He refuses to buy them from the street vendors because, you know, who wants something that's been sitting out and drying, in bus exhaust for hours? So nobody wants to get those. I've actually never had one.
Me neither.
Something tells me we're not missing anything. It's definitely a Philly thing. And we are trying to bring a pretzel culture to New York City through our
country. Although, let's say this. I love street vendors. We love street vendors.
We love street vendors.
And people from around the world probably are getting the pretzels from the street vendors, don't you think?
Maybe, probably.
I think so. I see people getting hot dogs and pretzels. Okay, we're going to come back.
Yeah, they're for tourists. They're not for New Yorkers.
Exactly. Or Philadelphians. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more pretzels with Barella. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Tell Me by Sharon Jones and the Dab Kings.
You love Sharon Joan and the Dab Kings? I do. My name's Nicole Taylor, and you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm being engineered today by Joe G. This show is produced by Jack Inslee and myself. Let's give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant. It's the location of Heritage Radio Network. We're located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. All right, folks. We're talking pretzels today with one half of the husband and wife team behind Pilsner's Pretzels. So you guys, Barella, launched the business in 2011. Well, really this year.
This year. Yeah, it was New Year's Day. Either New Year's Day or New Year's Eve that we baked our first batch. And it was terrible. We took a few bites and threw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
But we were determined to make the perfect soft pretzel. So we just kept baking, kept baking, kept baking. We started selling in April at DeKalb Market in downtown Brooklyn. And we are now at Smorgasburg, which is the all-food market at Brooklyn Flea, as you know. So we're there every Saturday. And we just started pitching different businesses to sell our pretzels. So, you know, beer gardens, bars, entertainment venues, provision shops. So you'll be seeing more of us.
So I think I've had all the flavors. What do you have? I know that there's just more so you have these great, great dipping sauces with all the pretzels. But run down the flavors again for me.
Okay, well, we have three varieties right now. We're always experimenting, coming up with new recipes. But right now we have a plain pretzel, just a traditional soft pretzel. We have a sweeter pretzel that we call the Pilsner. That's our signature pretzel, and it has cranberries, rosemary, and lemon baked in.
That one is good.
Thank you. And then our savory pretzel is the everything, and it's baked with onion and garlic, and it's topped with poppy seeds and sesame seeds, and that one is by far a bestseller. We cannot bake enough.
I love all three. And some of your dipping sauces.
I can't take credit for the dipping sauces. We do source those. So we have a spicy, we focus on the pretzels and we buy our dips. But we have a spicy chocolate sauce that we have. It's organic and it has a little bit of cayenne pepper in it just to give it some kick. And then we have a beer mustard, which is delicious. It's also a little hot.
And so you already told us about the Philly connection, which is your husband is from Philly.
Yes.
I feel like you guys are doing something beyond Smorgasburg. Aren't you partnering with a Philadelphia's cheesesteak person here in the city?
We are. We are. There's a great cheesesteak food truck called Phil's Steaks. And we just this weekend partnered with them for the Parked Food Festival. They were serving our pretzel poppers, which are little pretzel bites. So we are actually doing a promotion with them this week. Well, they will be giving out our pretzel poppers to their lucky customers. So for lunch tomorrow, they will be at the World Financial Center on Vesey Street and North End Avenue between 11 and 2:30.
Okay, cool.
And then they will be parked in Union Square for dinner between 3:30 and 9. So if you go to either location, you'll be able to get a free pretzel popper with beer mustard.
And so the word Pilsner, where did that come from?
That is actually a family name. My husband Leon's family's name is Pilsner, and they have a very, very long history in Philadelphia as business owners. So we've had the torch passed to us.
Really? Were they caterers?
They were not caterers, but they have a number of different types of businesses that they've
Philly has a very interesting, and you know, talking about African Americans or black people in Philly and food, if you read like 18th century, 19th century history of folks doing business and entrepreneurs, there are a lot of food entrepreneurs of, you know, black people in Philly. So interesting. I know your family is proud, or your husband's family, your family is proud to have that name.
Yes, they definitely are. They definitely are.
So for folks who can't make it to New York City, what are some of y'all's favorite places in Philly to get pretzels? Where do y'all go when y'all want to try out pretzels in Philly?
Well, he's always told me about growing up and on Saturday mornings walking with his brother, with his family, to get fresh baked pretzels from the Italian markets. So I think that is something that, you know, people who grew up in Philadelphia would be very familiar with. And even when we talk to a lot of our customers who, you know, may be New Yorkers but went to school in Pennsylvania or, you know, spent a lot of time in Philly, you know, they really speak highly of the soft pretzels there and how they're everywhere and they're really, really good. So they're very excited to see us when they come to market.
So I always think of pretzels as a snack, but I mean, as I'm sitting here talking to you and we were talking earlier, I realized that pretzels definitely can be, you know, folks can have a pretzel for breakfast in lieu of a bagel.
Absolutely.
Or really even at dinner, you can kind of, your pretzels, I've had them before, split them open and making it like into a sandwich.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think they make a great sandwich bread. And you see that in restaurants. You know, a lot of bars will serve, you know, hamburgers or different sandwiches with a pretzel bun for the bread. And we definitely encourage that, obviously, and I'll do it at home. I'll use it as a sandwich bread, or I like peanut butter with mine.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. So, the soft pretzel is really, it's, I would say it's as versatile as the hard pretzel, but just in a different way.
So what's next for you guys? You know, you're a few months in the game, a lot of notoriety, you're at Smorgasburg, selling out all the time. What's next? On dipping sauces, catering?
Catering, we're actually catering our first private event tomorrow. I cannot disclose the fabulous client, but we'll probably put some pictures up on our page on Facebook soon. So yes, we're definitely expanding, doing catering. We are getting wholesale accounts. So if any of your listeners have a favorite bar that they want to see our pretzels in, email us info@pelzerspretzels.com. We're taking suggestions. There's so many bars in New York, and we definitely want to be in the best. And we are, like I said, always looking to bring about new flavors, testing them out, different recipes. So we hope to have more varieties very soon.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming on Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me.
It's actually a privilege to have you on here before you guys blow up, you know. And then I see you like, oh, I'm so busy. Pretzels falling out of your bag, you know. But thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease, folks. If you're listening and you want to check out Pelzer's Pretzels, you guys are, you're everywhere. Your Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, Facebook. Our Twitter handle is at Pelzer's Pretzels, P-E-L-Z-E-R-S Pretzels. And our website is pelzerspretzels.com. And you can check out our schedule on there. It's got all of our locations. And a little bit of history about our company, and give us a call if you have an event, a fundraiser, a lawn party, any kind of corporate event. We are at the moment taking orders for parties.
And no shipping yet.
No shipping yet. We're still.
All right.
That
so
out.
That means, folks, if you're listening, you'll just have to come to NYC.
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much, Barella.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday live at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.